So you might have seen the headlines about Moody's downgrading the U.S. credit rating, and maybe notice Wall Street didn't seem too panicked.
Right. Initially, it seemed like a bit of a shrug.
But we think this actually matters, maybe quite a bit to you. So let's get right into it.
Absolutely. This deep dive, we're really going to unpack what's behind this downgrade. We'll look at Moody's reasoning, things like, rising debt, those ongoing
And
deficits.
how things like a potential new tax bill or tariffs might play into all this.
Exactly. And we'll explore the different takes on, well, just how healthy the U.S. economy really is right now. There are some contrasting views out there.
Okay, and to do that, we've pulled together insights from a few different places. We've got David Wessel on PBS NewsHour, Bob Nardelli and Peter St. Onge talking on Fox Business.
Plus, some reporting from CBS News about Walmart and potential price hikes from tariffs, and then a discussion on MSNBC with Natasha Saran and David Gura.
So our goal really is pretty simple today. Cut through the jargon, the financial speak, and try to figure out what these economic signals could actually mean for your wallet, for your future.
Makes sense.
All right, so Moody's, they downgraded the U.S. Why now? What was the big push?
Well, the core of it, what Moody's is pointing to, is really the sheer size of the annual budget deficits, plus the growing mountain of national debt.
And the cost of that debt is going up too, right? With interest rates.
Precisely, that's a big factor, rising interest costs. And it's worth remembering, Moody's wasn't actually the first big agency to do this.
Right. David Wessel mentioned that. S&P and Fitch had already done it.
Exactly. So in a way, Moody's is kind of adding their voice to an existing concern that sophisticated investors, as Wessel put it, were probably already aware of, this idea of an unsustainable budget trajectory.
Okay, so the pros might have seen it coming.
Yeah.
But what happened in the markets right after the announcement? Was there any immediate ripple effect?
There was some nervousness initially, yeah. Stocks had a bit of a rocky start. The dollar's value dipped a little, and we saw some pressure on bond markets. Prices went down, which means yields went up.
Yields went up. Okay.
Now, things did bounce back a bit later, but Wessel's point, and I think it's a key one, is that this downgrade could be maybe a turning point. It might force markets, the press, maybe even some folks in Congress to pay closer attention to those deficits and the debt.
Especially with potentially more financial stuff coming down the pike from Washington.
Exactly. That's a big part of the uncertainty.
And that brings us to things like the pending tax bill and, the whole tariff situation. Those seem like pretty big pieces here.
Oh, absolutely. That proposed tax bill is a huge point of discussion. Analysts are looking at it and saying, this could add something like $3.5 trillion to the debt over 10 years.
Wow. $3.5 trillion.
It's a substantial number. And when global investors look at the U.S., a potential increase like that, well, it can raise questions about long-term stability.
And David Wessel also mentioned things beyond just the numbers, didn't he? Like rule of law concerns, tariff uncertainty.
Yes, he did. The idea is that if there's perceived instability, whether it's fiscal or, policy unpredictability around tariffs, that could make the U.S. seem a bit riskier to investors.
Which in turn could mean less foreign money coming in, less
Yeah.
investment in U.S. bonds, maybe.
That's the potential chain reaction. Less demand for U.S. securities, maybe a weaker dollar as a result.
Okay, but then you have others like Bob Nardelli who sound more optimistic.
Right, you have to look at the other side too. Nardelli, for example, credits the current administration's policies for the strong job numbers we've seen.
And he also talks about onshoring, bringing production back to the U.S.
Yes, he sees potential benefits there, suggesting that maybe tariffs are encouraging that shift.
And what about Peter St. Onge? He had a different take on some recent GDP numbers, right?
He did. His argument was that the contraction we saw in the first quarter GDP wasn't really about a weak economy. He thinks it was mostly businesses, front-running tariffs.
Front running, meaning they rushed imports before tariffs hit.
Exactly. So according to St. Onge, that big surge in imports made the overall GDP number look bad. But if you look underneath, he argues, the actual economy, especially investment, was showing pretty strong growth. He pointed to a lot of announced business deals as evidence of future investment.
It's really interesting how you can have such different reads on the same data.
It really is.
It makes you wonder, okay, we've had downgrades before, like in 2011 and just last year in 2023, and investors didn't exactly dump U.S. debt then. Is this time potentially different?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's true, those past downgrades didn't cause a mass exodus from treasuries. But there are some maybe warning signs this time that feel a bit different.
Like what?
Well, David Wessel highlighted this. We're seeing both bond yields going up and the dollar weakening at the same time. That combination wasn't necessarily as pronounced before.
And rising yields mean bond prices are falling, suggesting maybe less demand or more perceived risk.
That's generally the relationship, yes. And the global picture might be shifting too.
How so?
Wessel brought up the idea that maybe, just maybe, other markets are starting to look more attractive as alternatives for big investors. He mentioned the European bond market specifically.
Ah, so more competition for investment dollars.
Potentially. It could lessen that sort of automatic demand for U.S. debt that we've maybe gotten used to. Now, Wessel isn't saying the U.S. is about to default or anything like that.
Okay.
But his caution is, if these signals are ignored, markets might eventually start demanding a higher price, higher interest rates to hold U.S. debt to cover that perceived extra risk.
Okay, so let's connect the dots. This isn't just Wall Street stuff. How could this bond market skittishness, these broader economic worries, actually hit home for, you know, for you listening?
Right. This is where it gets very real. When the bond market gets nervous about U.S. debt, it usually pushes up the interest rates on treasury bonds.
The benchmark.
Exactly. Those rates are the benchmarks for so many other borrowing costs. Think mortgages, credit card interest rates, car loans.
So even a small rise in those treasury rates could mean paying more on a mortgage or a car payment down the line.
It absolutely could. Yeah. Even seemingly small bumps can add up to a pretty significant hit for households across the economy.
And it's not only borrowing costs, is it? We also heard from Walmart talking about potential price hikes.
That's the other piece, yeah. Walmart basically signaled they might have to raise prices on some items soon, specifically because of the tariff policies.
Their CFO actually said tariffs were still too high for consumers.
He did. Even with some reductions, they feel the costs are significant and will likely get passed on. So that's a pretty direct signal that the cost of tariffs could show up on store shelves for American shoppers.
Which ties into those wider concerns about inflation we keep hearing about.
It certainly does. You know, Fed Chair Jerome Powell has mentioned the possibility of more frequent, maybe more persistent supply shocks globally.
Mm.
And as J.D. Durkin noted on CBS, the big debate is whether price increases from things like tariffs are just a one-time shock, or if they become something more lasting that keeps squeezing budgets.
Okay, so we're juggling these different narratives. On one hand, caution from Moody's, from Wessel, about the debt and deficits.
Right, the fiscal trajectory concerns.
But on the other hand, optimism from Nardelli and St. Ange, pointing to strong job reports, investment.
Yeah, it's definitely a complex picture. And the data itself is, well, a mixed bag. Maria Bartiromo mentioned that April jobs report, it was a blockbuster, really, beat expectations.
But consumer confidence is still low.
But consumer confidence is still relatively low, yeah. It's confusing. Nardelli argues layoffs we're seeing are more about companies getting efficient, not a sign of economic weakness.
And St. Ange is really bullish on investment, seeing this absolute explosion driven partly by companies reacting to tariffs. Maybe onshoring.
Right. That's his take on the underlying momentum.
Meanwhile, the White House seems to be kind of downplaying the Moody's downgrade itself.
They are. Treasury Secretary Bessent called it a lagging indicator, basically looking in the rearview mirror, and insisted other countries are still happily investing in the U.S.
But Natasha Sarin had a very different interpretation on MSNBC.
Very different. She argued the downgrade just validates concerns people have had for a while about U.S. fiscal stability. And echoing Wessel, she really flagged that proposed tax bill.
Pointing to independent analyses.
Yeah, she cited several Yale Budget Lab, Penn Wharton Budget Model, Joint Committee on Taxation, all suggesting that bill is likely to add trillions to the debt, not save money.
Which contradicts what the White House press secretary claimed about $1.6 trillion in savings.
Exactly. Sarin pushed back hard on that number, noting the source was the Council of Economic Advisers, which is part of the White House, not an independent group. So getting objective numbers on policy impact is tricky.
And adding another layer of caution, we heard from Jamie Dimon, too.
Right, the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase. He warned about what he sees as an extraordinary amount of complacency in the market.
Complacency about what?
About the risks tied to the downgrade, about the potential economic impact of tariffs. Coming from him, that's a pretty significant warning that maybe the market isn't fully pricing in potential downsides.
Okay, so if we try to sort of pull all these threads together, it sounds like this Moody's downgrade, even if the market didn't panic immediately, is a pretty serious signal.
I think that's fair to say. It reflects these deep, ongoing worries about the country's financial health driven by debt deficits and, importantly, uncertainty about future policy like that tax bill and tariffs.
And while there are definitely bright spots, jobs, maybe investment, depending on how you read it.
Right, those positive indicators are there.
But there are also these other clear signs, the dollar weakening, bond yields climbing, big retailers warning about price hikes, suggesting these bigger fiscal issues and policy choices could increasingly hit regular people.
Exactly. Through higher borrowing costs, potentially higher prices for goods, it connects back to everyday finances.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, it really leaves us with a big question, something for you, the listener, to chew on. Given all these different viewpoints, these mixed signals, what role do you think government policy should play here? How do we ensure long-term economic stability and your own financial well-being?
Yeah, what questions does this whole situation raise for you about where the U.S. economy is headed and, you know, its place in the world? Lots to think about.